Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This one goes out to all lovers in the house. You know what I'm saying? You gonna express my feelings right about now on the way I like to do things. See y'all. Bring it in.
Had a good week so far. I had a good week and a half. I was vacationing with the wife in Las Vegas. Had lots of fun. Didn't gamble because my ass is too cheap to gamble. That's another story for another time. At any rate, my name is Scott Burks, and this is The Clown Hour, of course, and I am the creator of a sports blog called The Clown Times, Clown spelled with K. And obviously, as you would probably deduce by now, this is the podcast component of my sports blog, The Clown Times. But anyway, you can find my blog at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook. Just fooling around, just percolating within, like during the this soon-to-be summer of LeBron. That's later on in the podcast. But anyway, just type in the search window, The Clown Times, again, that's Clown spelled with K. You can find me there as well. In addition to getting to the NBA Finals, we'll be talking about breaking down the Stanley Cup Finals. Yes, I'll be talking hockey again. Canada, hockey fans, how you like me now? And last but not least, we're going to talk about Terrell Owens. Yes, the same Terrell Owens who after he got inducted in the Hall of Fame, didn't matter if it's the third time around, but he got inducted nonetheless. He's a Hall of Famer. He, for some reason, will not attend the Hall of Fame ceremonies, which we'll get into that. You know, I have strong feels about that, and my podcast partner will too. And speaking of which, y'all know my podcast partner. He's from the YR/HBCU Sports blog, where he raps about all things HBCU sports, as well as his podcast here on Blog Talk Radio called Sleazy Radio. Just check him here now, and you know, as well as the coach, as well as his other cronies. So the one and only Dwayne Nash is back in the house. How you doing, brother?
Scott, what's the deal?
Ah, you told me the deal, man. Hey, you know what? Speaking of the deal, I want to just ask about how your city is still celebrating the Stanley Cup victory. I mean, I was in Vegas last week, so I saw it from the loser end. But, yo, man, these Vegas fans right here are crazy. I'm in Cincinnati, obviously. We're crazy. Crazy. The atmosphere was just buzzing, man, all freaking week. Up until Thursday night when they lost, but we'll get to more of the Golden Knights in a second. But tell me, is DC still standing? Have they gone Philadelphia Eagle fan burnt it to the ground, or how's the mood there?
Oh God, no, man. You know we like to portray ourselves to be a little bit more civil than the city of Philadelphia, even though I've seen many a moments. I guarantee you, bro, where we step over that line of fandom in terms of how we react to certain things. But I will say, in most of those cases, it's because someone from Philadelphia, New York, or Dallas is involved in that situation. But I shouldn't say from. I should say is a fan of those three teams, especially when it's dealing with the NFL. But,
right,
you know, we in this area, we kind of learned our lesson from the 2002 NCAA championship game with the University of Maryland. Oddly enough, I'm right outside of their campus right now. You know, they kind of slightly burnt the campus down a little bit over here and had problems on Route 1. But it was rather calm. And then you have situations where, you know, the words of Mike Wilbon, and I get it, you know, I understand Wilbon used to work here in D.C. during the early 80s. From the early 80s up until the 2000s, even while he was had his early days at ESPN. But it's like a lot of people, first and foremost, mistakenly believe that Wilbon is from here. No, Wilbon is from Chicago. He just has
Chicago,
working here.
Yeah.
And two, over the past couple of years, you know, he's just been coming out and attacking DC sports fans, and DC sports fandom as a whole has been in question on whether or not if we're a real sports city. And the way that we reacted after the Pittsburgh Penguins win. But, you know, we did it right, man. You know, it was a huge turnout, even though I found it kind of entertaining. One network said, and I can't remember exactly which one it was, but they said, I'm not going to say exactly which election, but it seems like there are more people out here now than it was at a specific presidential election. I thought that was hilarious that they pointed that out. But the city has turned out, and, you know, the couple of things that they've been pointing out, first and foremost, this is the first time that a team within the city, a pro team that is, that is not soccer, because, of course, you know, people like to bring up the United, and I also like to bring up the tennis team.
Yeah,
you know, so we've had championships in those two sports, but this is the first time in the four major pro sports that a team in D.C. has won a world title. First time in 40 years, well, actually 40 years to the day of them winning it, was the last time that the Wizards / Bullets won a title, which is ironically enough. And with the city being so thirsty for a champion, everyone turned out. I mean, everyone. I've seen people who I had no idea were hockey fans were talking about it on social media. They went to the parade. They were out there the final night, game five against Golden – I'm about to call them Golden State, I'm sorry – against Vegas, the Golden Knights. So the Caps have taken over the city. And the fans have done so in kind and treating this without acting a fool. There was only one arrest that I can remember entire time.
Wow.
Now, don't get it twisted. This city know how to get crazy when we win a title. But
well, I know.
I know
Redskins
it's
fans.
Only one. especially the Skins fans. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was only one arrest. What else? We actually did it within an orderly fashion. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily live in the city, so they had to be mindful of that. You know, our metro actually extended hours for the day of the road game, which is odd. They won't extend hours for a Nationals home game, but there's hours for fans to watch Game 5 outside of the Capital One Center.
Yeah, the watch party.
Yeah, for the watch party. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah. And if I was the learners, I'd be pissed. Because I can't even get a playoff extension, but they can get it for a watch party? Come on. But I digress.
Well, in Metro's defense, they're probably so used to the Nationals flaming out in the postseason, they're probably like, yeah, who gives a damn? Wake us up when you get into the World Series, bro.
You're partially right, but if memory serves me correctly, I think an outside company came in and helped out with the entire situation and paid for it to have the hours extended. I think that's what the situation was.
Oh, okay.
But
gotcha.
I just love the way that the entire city and all of its sports teams even got behind them. You know, all of the teams that deal with monumental sports, that's the whole sports conglomerate that's owned by Ted Leonsis, that being, of course, the Wizards, the Caps, the DC Go-Go. I can't wait till they come out and start balling. The Mystics, the Valor, the Arena Football Team, all of them were out there in support wearing the Caps. You would see the coaches wearing Caps hats. The Nationals, they came out in support. New manager Davey Johnson came out to a couple of games. Former Skins head coach Joe Gibbs came out to a game. He was out there. Former Redskin, Chris Baker, has been out for a couple of games. He's out of Cincinnati now. It was great to see him out there. So, you know, you see everybody with the exception of Daniel Snyder. He was the only one. And of all of the people, you would think that he would probably be the most jealous of the situation because, of course, this is a Skin City, And
yes,
the attention has been snatched from them, and rightfully so. There's no way in the world you could bypass a team that's fighting for a world championship to cover OTAs. And I'm so used to hearing about skins OTAs. We're in minicamp. I didn't hear anything about OTAs, and I'm shocked. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like scratching around, feeling, trying to find what's going on, and all I see is caps, caps, caps. And now they're talking about minicamp. I feel like I'm behind, bro. But, you know, what do you do? You have to. And then to see how the team has reacted, it's been great. They've been all around the city. They've been to Georgetown, Arlington, Nats games.
Wow, so they did a tour of the whole that DMV almost.
They've been doing a tour of the DMV since winning the Cup. It's been fantastic. It's like it's the People's Cup almost. And everybody is enjoying it, man. It's like a light feeling, man. We're not even worried about what's going on in North Korea here in the city because we're so elated. It's odd. I've forgotten this feeling. It's been so long. But the thing is, will this winning rub off on the other sports teams? That's been a question that's been asked. You know, will anyone else in the area, pro team wise, feel jealous because of the attention that the Caps getting? And also, the one question that I thought was interesting was, will the kids in the area start turning to wanting to play hockey? There are several facilities here. Unfortunately, there aren't any in the inner city, but there are facilities here where kids can go and play hockey. How many kids will start playing now because the Caps are now winning?
You know, that's the whole butterfly effect, man. It's like, you know, it all it takes is one action, one catalyst to turn a city. I mean, we're so used to the Washington D.C. being the Redskins town for so long. It's been like that since long as I can remember. I'm 44 years old, and you know, so much so that but it's so crazy that my brother-in-law's from the D.C. area. You know, he grew up in Germantown, Maryland, and he as big a football fan, and actually he baseball is his favorite sport, but even he was tweeting #AllCaps. He was into it. I mean, that's how crazy it is. And we had and I saw a lot of Caps fans in Vegas. I mean, we were watching the game. We were watching Game 5. My wife and I at the Legacy Coliseum, you know, and as in Chef Emeril Lagasse. So,
oh wow,
they had stadium seating in there. Oh, it's nice, bro. It's nice. But they had stadium seating, which were all reserved and taken up, rather. So we sat at some of the tables that had flat screen plasmas at each table, mounted on the walls and stuff. So we all saw it. But the atmosphere was so crazy, and there were so many Caps fans there. I mean, so the commentator said it was probably estimated at 70-30. So it was 30% Caps fans were in the house. So, I mean, you saw them walking around all day, and actually the day or so prior to Thursday. So it's just crazy. I'm happy for Alexander Ovechkin. I've been a fan of his for a long time. I love his swag. Always loved his swag. Ever since when he scored some of his early goals, early in his career, he would do things like throw the toss his hockey stick down and start trying to cool it down. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, he did a lot of things. He would do things against the Sidney Crosby skin, which I loved. And he finally gets his due. He finally got the big ass monkey off his back. He's a world champion, even though he uttered the big time F bomb during his epic speech at the victory parade, which I thought was awesome. it's well deserved. It's well earned. And this is not Washington's best team. I mean, this is not his best team. I mean, best team was a few years ago. Seasons ago, when they won, I guess what's the name of the title for having the best record? The President's Cup,
Cup. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. and they ended up getting bounced in the first and second round. Okay. That was this. Well, that's probably one of his best teams. But doing it with a team that was scrappy, you know, hardworking, full of grit. I mean, you know, it was special when they beat the Penguins in the playoffs in six games, not seven.
Yeah.
Six games. When they did them in six games, the main tormentors for so many years. That's when I knew this team was on the verge of being doing something special. That's when I knew it. At that point, I said, you know what, this team is up to something.
I'm glad to see it.
I know that you guys were afraid of being jinxed. You were saying, I knew you muttered on your breath for me to shut the hell up because I was on the verge of jinxing your hometown Capitals. But it's a great story, man. It's a great story. Again, I'm happy for Ovechkin. Happy for you, too. And really happy for you, Caps fans. The first title ever in the NHL.
Yeah.
And the first ever Stanley Cup, I should say. And much respect. But I have to bring up the Golden Knights. I know that a lot of teams are pissed, reportedly, allegedly, over their success in year one. Again, as I said 2 weeks ago, before I took my Vegas vacation, shut up, draft well, and win. Stop bitching about that stuff. Just be happy for them. Just give them their props. Show Vegas some love. Be Vegas strong and just roll the punches, draft well, and try to beat them next year. They got a big-ass target on their backs now. No one else has any excuses. I will say this. Speaking of the hysteria earlier in Vegas, it was so cool to see a non-traditional hockey market in Las Vegas just get swept up in this hysteria of the Golden Knights. I mean, it's jerseys everywhere. The cows, monikers, everywhere. And I do mean everywhere, all over the strip, all over the different various hotels, various shopping areas. It's just awesome to see. And, you know, the way this team is built and the way the organization is run, I did a little research on the back end before heading to Vegas. It's just, I think they're built in the way that they're here to stay. I don't think they're going anywhere. And I know that'll make other teams even more jealous and angrier, but well, that's life. But, you know, this is an unmitigated success for Las Vegas. And it's a bigger success for a much maligned commissioner, Gary Bettman, who I've trashed many a time for dubious decisions he's made in the past, most notably when he decided to cancel the whole hockey season, which has put it behind the eight ball. It's still behind the eight ball, even though it's climbing out of it slowly. But it's a big win for the NHL. And, you know, hockey in Las Vegas. Who would have thunk it, right?
Well, who would have thought any pro sports in Vegas? I thought they would just be relegated to UNLV and Andre Agassi for the rest of their, you know, life. But, hey, Golden Knights, and here come the Raiders.
That's right. And they're excited about the Raiders, too. It's just weird. That city is already bananas without the sports team. It's already the bananas. But with this hysteria, with the Knights, with the Golden Knights, and with the Raiders coming in, I saw some Raider gear out there, too. Vegas is going to be off the chain. By the way, if you haven't done so already, please go to Vegas. You will thank me later. That's all I have to say. Moving right on to the NBA Finals.
Before we move along,
sir.
Shout out to the young lady who decided to show us her gifts after Game 5 as Obi was skating around with the Stanley Cup. Thank you for allowing us to be blessed with some blessings. Thank you.
Yes. Count your blessings, name them one by one, as the song goes. the NBA Finals. Well, we kind of knew it was going to be a boring Finals. We knew it was going to be anticlimactic, right? I mean, it was only fitting that such a exciting playoff run would end with a big-ass dud in the NBA Finals. I mean, it's almost as if an average woman after she goes on a date with an average dude and sleeps with him, it's like all this build up only for Lawrence to let down. because you know how most guys do, not me, but you know how most guys do. You know, all that build up. Anyway, so pretty much the woman in this case would be us fans, NBA fans.
Okay.
And the young man in this case would be Golden State v. Cleveland. And I knew it was gonna be, I figured it was gonna be a short series. I didn't know not only will it be in the sweep, I didn't know that the last two games, well, two of the games would be so lopsided, including game four where they just flat out quit. The Cavaliers just flat out quit on Ty Lue and the fans. So before we get into the aftermath of this, is there – well, let me ask you this. We all seen what Kevin Durant and them did. Do you think – what if – let's play a game of what if. What if J.R. Smith didn't go bonehead and put the ball back up off that rebound of the missed free throw from George Hill with, 3 seconds left?
Uh-huh.
Do you think it would have changed the outlook of the rest of the season, of the rest of the series, even though it was just one game, even though Golden State was clearly better than Cleveland? Do you think it would change the outlook drastically, if you will, in this series? Are you like many people think, well, Golden State's so much better, it wouldn't have made a damn difference anyway?
Well, I have to ask, what is your definition of drastically?
If it went to full seven, basically.
Oh, no. And let me start with the beginning, right? Because what we're saying is that JR taps it back in, or at least brings it down, takes it back up, and makes the bucket. That's still a 50-50 situation, because he's going to have to take that shot over KD, or at least find a spot or pass it to someone else who was open. And even in that situation, that person still would have to make a bucket. So it's still a 50-50 venture on whether or not they score in that situation. They don't score, they still go in overtime. Now, they went in overtime anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they stuck up the joint in overtime. You know, they only had two field goals and two free throws made in that entire 5 minutes. So they had an opportunity to go ahead and attempt to play well, but it was like it was all shot after the debacle, right? So as much as they want to blame JR, this is a lot of blame that could have gone around in game one. But let's just say JR or somebody does make that bucket, right, and they win game one. In my opinion, I think at best that series goes six. At best. Maybe five, but at best six. Because I think in that situation, right, once again, it's butterfly effect, right? They win that game. LeBron doesn't mess up his hand, but they still probably get beat in game two. They go to Cleveland. They probably win game three. And then I think that Golden State takes the next three.
Well, I think I'm kind of like you. We're kind of sharing the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have woken up the Warriors. And oddly enough, it did wake them up somewhat for game two when they just blew their asses out of the building. But remember, Cleveland was competitive in game three for a while until Kevin Durant with Kevin Durant at the end. And just think about this. We were in game one. Let's go back to game one for a minute. We were this close from KD being a big-time GOAT. And I do not mean as the greatest of all times, because he had a bad for game one.
He didn't
have the best series against Houston.
No.
And even though I would say this, point of order, if Chris Paul would have been in the lineup for game six or seven, especially game seven, Houston would have been in the finals. Sue me. I don't care, but that's what I think. but that's how poorly Kevin Durant played. And he played poorly in game one, and he missed a box out on a smaller dude in J.R. Smith. Now, yes, if Gerald Smith puts that ball back in, who knows what we'd be thinking about Kevin Durant right now? Who knows if he would have bounced back? I mean, we don't know that. Hell, we don't know, to your point, if he would have hit the shot. I'm just saying Kevin Durant came this close to being an all-time GOAT.
Yeah.
A dog from game in game one. And who knows how would that would have affected him the rest of the series. But I was saying, even still, Golden State's better than Cleveland, period, end of story. It's like LeBron and the four dwarfs. I mean, it's just, I mean, all due respect to Kevin Love, but let's just be real. Is Kevin Love better than just forget Steph for a minute, Steph Curry for a minute? Is Kevin Love better than Klay Thompson or Draymond Green? Exactly. That's my comment. LeBron and the four dwarfs. But
like I would to argue Draymond, but other than that, it's an argument that can go either way. But that's still LeBron and the four dwarfs,
because even still, because people were backing on like Draymond a little bit, but people forget that 2 years ago, Draymond Green was this close to being Finals MVP. Remember, he got suspended for Game 5, and Golden State lost, and then they blew that 3-1 series lead because. Draymond Green had a good season, and he had a great finals. He had a great Game 7.
He had a fantastic Game 7. Yeah.
Yeah, and hitting threes and doing his thing. But I have to say this. He sacrificed a lot of his game for the good of the team, especially this season. He really did. He's become more of a glue guy. You can tell he's one of the big-time leads, if not maybe he and David West. Or the big time leaders on that squad, I still would take Draymond over Kevin Love at gunpoint. I still would. but I'll say this about Golden State: is there any team that could beat Golden State? I mean, Golden State, by their standards, sleptwalked throughout the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They finished 8 or so games behind Houston for the best record in the conference. And oddly enough, if Toronto didn't, turn into the baby dinosaurs, Toronto would have had home court over Golden State. That's how much Golden State slept walked. If you're the rest of the league and you see this, Golden State is most vulnerable and they still win in conventional fashion in the NBA Finals. What do you do at this point? I mean, outside of Houston, if you're not named the Houston Rockets or Boston Celtics for that matter, what would you do?
All you can do is hope and pray that during free agency and that the draft, you hit 100% of what you're attempting to do. That's the only thing that you can pray for, right? And that's still a dice game because we don't know exactly who's going to go where, who's going to land where, what dominoes are going to fall in what direction, and what type of teams we'll end up having come October. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, like you said, the only two teams, and these are two teams that I think could probably take Golden State to 6, maybe 7 games in the final. Well, that's like we know Houston can take Golden State to 7 games in the final, even though they look pretty dirty in those first couple of games against G-State, but they somehow got it together. But in the East, I think 100% healthy Boston team could be equally as competitive. But I don't know if they can beat them. I think they can take them to 6, maybe 7 games. But, outside of that, I don't see anybody else.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Not the way the teams are
going to
fly.
No. I think Philly's a couple years away. If Philly hits big in free agency, whether it's LeBron or it's Paul George, and we'll get to LeBron in a second. But I think Philly is the next closest, just because they have the two superstars are young, and they're gelling, and they got the right mix of players. They got a defensive stopper, and I forget his name, Livingston or something like that.
Covington.
Covington, yeah. I'm sorry, Covington, and the 3-point shooters that they have, especially if they bring back. if they find a way to, if they hit bigger free agency, if they find a way also to bring back J.J. Redick, I think that would be huge. Because you need shooters. You one thing about this league is it's a jump shooting league now. You need shooters, and Philly has those. And of course, Boston. We all know about Boston. They're well coached. They're balanced. They're just. I hate to say this because I'm a Knicks fan. I hate the Celtics, but no one's stopping them. No one in the East is stopping them. The East is going to be Boston's for the next couple of years, I think. And of course, I mentioned Houston. I think that outside of those three teams, I share a brain with you. I just don't see it, man. I just do not see anybody seriously challenging unless they land LeBron, perhaps. And speaking of LeBron, let's just get to it. The summer of LeBron is about to start. We all know he's going to opt out, okay?
Yeah.
We all know this. And we all know from his body, if you judge his body language and read the tea leaves about his child, his oldest child, about to enroll in high school in L.A., suburban L.A., it doesn't have to be with the Lakers per se, but you read the tea leaves and you have to think to yourself, LeBron's out of Cleveland. He's as good as gone. I mean, the Herculean effort that he did the past couple of seasons, especially this past season, again the four dwarfs pulling him with them to the finals, was just nothing short of remarkable. But I just do not see him staying in Cleveland. So the question is, there's plenty of options out there, and you'd be surprised at the option that I feel is best for him. I think that, first of all, what do you think before I give my opinion? Because I'm just curious about what you think first before I kind of tease mine.
Well, like you said, the tea leaves kind of tell it all, right? Even forget about his son going to school out in L.A., right?
Yes.
Him busting up that chalkboard after game one, breaking his hand. His interaction with the teammates, the way he looked, his body language throughout the entire finals.
Right.
But, dude, this is the team that you built. This is the team that you put together.
He's a GM.
You pleaded for Tristan to get that big deal. You asked for JR to come back. You wanted those guys. You know what I'm saying? You wanted Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade to come to Cleveland. And then them bringing over Isaiah Thomas. You asked for all of that. And then when those guys didn't work, you asked for them to be traded. And you know what? There was that moment there, especially in the beginning stages, where they looked good. So everybody thought that this could just be, here comes Cleveland again, looking to take their rightful spot. And then, they had their lulls. And then they turned it back around to the playoffs. But this was all your doing, LeBron. So he's going to have to go somewhere, in my opinion, where he doesn't have all of that control. Now, I understand he likes having that control, but at the same time, man, it's being draining on him. Because he wants the control, but at the same time, he wants that ability to lean on someone else and not have all of that pressure on him. So it's going to be very interesting to see where he goes. I truly believe it's going to have to be a place that has a strong front office, a strong and young players to play alongside of him. Now, of course, like you said, L.A., that's the way it looks. That's the way it's been looking for the past couple of years. It's a possibility he could go there. He could possibly go to San Antonio. And it'll be interesting if they can keep Kawhi and bring in LeBron. I don't know what their money situation looks like. I understand it's possibly a pipe dream to even say that because, of course, Kawhi's going to want the max. But we'll have to see if that's a case. Of course, he's going to have to be double max. Well, not double max. But if he goes to Philly, both him and Embiid are both going to have to be maxed out in order for that to work. Those are the only three off the top of my head or the one that I don't really see happening, but, of course, is the option for him, which is to stay in Cleveland. They don't have the money in order to keep him. But, God, does he want to have to deal with all that stress? they're going to have to be capable of bringing in other pieces to come in and help him win. But the thing is, in order for him, in my opinion, to get over that Golden State hump, what he's going to have to do is go to Houston. And Houston is going to have to be able to sign both him and CP3, along with James Harden there, in order for that to work. So, say what you want. I think he's in order for him to win a title, he's going to have to go to the state of Texas, and it's going to either be San Antonio or Houston. But I truly believe he ends up in L.A. once again, doing his whole thing of playing with younger guys, younger talented guys, and hopefully they don't have to lose any assets in order to get him, and they're capable of potentially bringing back Randall to play alongside him as well at the four spot. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But
I was going to let you finish. My bad. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right. I was going to say, in order for him to win a title, like to be a title contender next year, he will have to go to the state of Texas. But I truly believe he ends up in L.A.
Well, it's interesting to say L.A. because I think the only way L.A. would work is that they bring in two guys. They'd have to bring in another guy alongside LeBron. And someone like Paul George, who word on the street is he's waiting to see what LeBron does because he wants to play with LeBron wherever he ends up. So if that's L.A., they're going to have to sign two stars, superstar and LeBron and the star and Paul George. So Paul George is free and clear. He's a free agent. I don't think he's restricted whatsoever. So they don't have to do a sign and trade with him nor LeBron if and when he opts out. But here's the thing, and I hope you're sitting down. I agree that if it's all about what LeBron wants in this stage of his life, right? In this stage of his career and life. If he's about chasing rings, he won't go to L.A. He will consider Houston, as he well should, and he should consider more so San Antonio because that would be the first time that LeBron would have a Hall of Fame caliber coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All due respect to Spoelstra. He's a damn good coach himself. I mean, look what he did with Miami this year. With smoke and a bunch of mirrors. But I think if he goes to San, if he's serious about winning, he'd be a LeBron. If he's serious about winning, he would at least consider San Antonio. Because besides Greg Popovich, who I think is the best coach in the game right now, you have LaMarcus Aldridge, and I know they're older, but Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, you got that old school leadership there, with whom LeBron respects. And speaking of respect, Popovich, he loves Popovich. He loves Pop. That's been well documented, and respects the hell out of him. But you also have Kawhi Leonard. He being Coach Pop and Kawhi will eventually get on the same page this summer because mainly Kawhi Leonard has over 200 million reasons why to do so. He's eligible for the max, the super max, and only San Antonio could give it to him. So I think they'll get on the same page this summer, and they still have cap space even after that to get LeBron. They may have to do some maneuvering here and there. But they can easily make that happen, more so than what people think. And of course, Texas is a tax-free state, so there you go in terms of state taxes. But this I'm gonna throw a curveball at you though.
Okay.
And you won't think this. I think he should stay east. And not only should he stay east, and I'm not thinking Philly, I'm not even thinking Cleveland, I'm thinking Boston. Now, hear me out on this. We mentioned coaching earlier. I mentioned coaching earlier. This will be the first time he will have a great coach on his side in Brad Stevens this time.
Yeah.
And Boston has room to bring in a big free agent if they want to. They can make the move. They have the assets to do a sign and trade if they want to. I mean, look at all the young studs that they have. I mean, look at it. I mean, you have I'm not saying that Danny Ainge would entertain the thought of moving these guys, but I mean, what's his name? Jason Tatum, the other kid, not Scary Terry, but Jaylen Brown, him as
okay.
well. You got three young guys, two second-year players and one rookie who stepped up big time. They're going to be stars in this league. Those guys got futures, especially Jason Tatum. And you have, of course, Gordon Hayward coming back and Kyrie Irving coming back. Now, let's talk about Kyrie Irving for a minute. Kyrie Irving is eligible for a max contract from the Celtics, but he wants to focus on getting healthy first, which is
mm-hmm.
applauded, which should be applauded. He has his priorities straight. Get healthy first. But if I'm not mistaken, Kyrie has one more year on his deal. And we know how good and how valued, highly valued, expiring contracts are in the NBA in terms of being a tradable asset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking that if Danny Ainge is one, I didn't like him as a player, but he's one of the shrewdest GMs in this league right now. And he still has that protected lottery pick in 2019 from, I think, the Nets still. So he has crazy assets to make this happen. I think it'll probably have to be a three-team trade, but I could see LeBron looking at those guys, those young Lions in Boston after their seven-game series, where those young guys got, where Game 7 got too big of a moment for the young guys because they were missing shots left and right.
Uh-huh.
But if you look at that roster, besides those three studs I mentioned, those young studs and Hayward, you got Marcus Smart coming off the bench as your spark plug. He has some dog in him. LeBron likes that. LeBron respects that. As well as, Marquise Morris?
Uh-huh.
Marcus Morris.
Yeah, Marcus, because Marquise is in D.C.
That's right, Marcus Morris. Those are some dogs, and I mean dogs in a good way. They got some dog in them. And don't you think LeBron's looking at that? At that young team mixed with a couple of veterans, well, three veterans, and that outstanding young coach, and think, well, damn, if I was on this squad, not only could we compete with Golden State, we could actually beat those guys if KD resigns, which he probably will, in Golden State. I'm thinking Boston, bruh. Again,
now,
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying it could happen. And I think that if he's serious about chasing rings, he could stay East, and he could, and he could join Boston and James, he's a wizard. He'll find a way to move Kyrie Irving. Because, again, expiring contract, has only one more year on his contract. So, it's crazy, but I could see it happening. I'm not saying it will happen, but I could definitely see Boston happening. If he's serious about winning. Otherwise, he'll go to San Antonio if he wants to be realistic. But if he goes to L.A., it'll be all about Brandon at that point. And
at that
he
point,
won't
yeah.
be serious about winning. So
now,
that's the first time I've heard Boston, though.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the first time I've heard Boston. I've also heard situations where they talked about him going to Boston and still playing alongside Kyrie. They just go ahead and let bygones be bygones, and what happened in Cleveland is that just that. It happened in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they had to give up an asset, just the teaming up of Kyrie and LeBron and the other pieces that they currently have in that roster, it'll be enough.
It
so,
could be.
You know, it's not far-fetched, man. You know, but I just think if it's any other team in the NBA other than the ones that we've named, so, like, if he ends
right.
up in Milwaukee, say, like, Washington, Portland, Phoenix, even New York or Chicago or Miami. If he ends up in those spots, I will be highly shocked. But any of the other spots that we've named tonight, I won't be shocked at all because they have what he likes, young, raw talent, great front offices, and quality players already there. That's what I already said. But a young talent, good front office, and teams that are already built to win a title. So those things are already there. It's just which one he'll want to choose to go to.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why it's going to be interesting because, again, he has a lot of options. More options than we both think. And, you know, this, of course, the ones bandied about the most, Philly, Houston, L.A. But I'm just saying, that if you take a look at it, there's more options out there for him. And I'm saying, if he's real serious about winning, I just think that he'll find his way to Boston after taking that long look at those long young lines in the they're still on the roster, they're still on their rookie contracts, and Gordon Hayward being that scorer, and, you know, having those two dogs, like two pit bulls coming off the bench, and Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, I'm telling you, and coached by Brad Stevens, I'm telling you, and plus, the most important thing is he can stay east.
Yeah.
He can stay east. But, again, that's why we're going to have the whole summer, because you know, like I think after what July 1st when free agency officially starts, so it's going to be
We'll know June 29th because he'll have to make his announcement to Cleveland or whatever he's going to say.
That's very true too. That's very true too. So it's going to be interesting. Let's just get you out on here on this, brother. We're going from exciting to a dud to potentially exciting with LeBron James free agency. To flat out crazy and frankly trifling. I've tried to like Terrell Owens. I really do try to like him. I try to understand him. I try to see where he's coming from. I know he has had a rough childhood. I know that he's had a chip on his shoulder throughout his entire career. You know, coming out of UT, University of Tennessee of Chattanooga as a third round pick. Having to work his way to becoming one of the greatest receivers of all time, at least in this era with Randy Moss. He gets in the Hall of Fame after three tries, which I think is two tries too long. But nonetheless, he got in, and he's well-deserved. His stats scream that he should be the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But after announcing, after going on Undisputed and saying that his position coach, who he's known for years, who believed in him, would be his presenter and leading everyone to believe that he's got bygones, it is what it is kind of thing. He turns tail and says that he won't be attending the ceremony, that he will have it at his own time with his own people, blase, blase, blase. Now, while this is that's his prerogative, I get it. He's a grown ass man; can do whatever the hell he wants. I don't care what he doesn't do. Anything criminal, but this is so disappointing, so many levels. I mean, I would have ran about it like when shortly after I came back from Vegas, and I'm sad for him because I think he's the cat type of cat who has a hard time being happy. Who has a hard time finding happiness.
Yeah.
And from a guy like yours truly who holds on to grudges, and my wife will tell you, and people who know me best will tell you that I'm a big time grudge holder. I still have grudges, grudges to this day. God is working on me. I admit. But he just is so beneath him. He's so much better than this. And the fact is that he's talking about he doesn't need any validation. His numbers speak for themselves. But he also, with this decision, with this announcement, have given all his critics who didn't want him in the Hall of Fame in the first place, he's given them all the validation that they needed. Like, see, I knew he was going to do something like this. I knew he's a selfish guy. He's not a team player. No one. I mean, that's why I didn't want him. He's going to – all those people come out of the woodwork. Skip Bayless was all out of the woodwork, even though not as much as he has been in the past. and said as much. Critics all over. I mean, Adam Schein from Mad Dog Radio, Jim Rome, both of them who I'm fans of, they're not the biggest T.O. fans. So you know they got all the validation and ammunition that they need to attack this guy now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just very unfortunate. I hope that, and I really hope that he finds happiness. But he's like, again, he's one of those dudes that he can't be happy unless he's unhappy. And I actually, and I truly worry about that because that's not healthy.
Not at all.
So he just needs, look, he's depriving his fans and the players, excuse me, in the Hall of Fame, including one who took a shot at Michael Irvin, who supported him.
Yeah.
The likes of Deion Sanders, Shannon Sharp, all those players supported his cause, stumped for his cause. Even Chris Carter didn't. Chris Carter can't stand him, and vice versa, stumped for him. And this is how Terrell Owens pays him. It's just sad all the way around. Hope he changes his mind, but I don't think he will. It's just sad. It's just terrible. It's just very disappointing.
You know what? I think it all started really at the end of his career. See, you know, we had this debate about, you know, Colin Kaepernick and the kneeling and whether or not he's been, you know, blackballed because of the kneeling or whether or not it's his level of play. Let's talk about Terrell Owens being blackballed out of the league and something that a lot of people don't like to talk about. His last season, he caught the ball for almost 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in Cincinnati, playing alongside Chad Ochocinco. That was his last year in the league. You know what I'm saying? And you can't tell me that a receiver that puts up 10 touchdowns and almost 1,000 yards, I don't care how old they are, they can't get a job the following year. But because he's T.O., he couldn't get a job the following year. And nobody wanted to take a chance on him. A lot of people thought he was a headache. You know, I'm still trying to figure out what happened in Dallas. There are a lot of people that were throwing him under the bus in Dallas, even though, in my opinion, it looked like he was a healthy teammate there and wanted to do nothing but succeed there. You know, it just seemed like everywhere he went, they try to label him something, even though he may not have been completely guilty of it. As much as they like to talk about him and his time in San Fran, you know, they try to say he was a cancer there. But oddly enough, San Fran wanted to keep him. It just happens to be that they couldn't keep him there because of the money. So that's why he left. You know, and of course he did what he did when he was in Philly. And so it's as much as I didn't want to like this dude as an athlete, of course, because he paid for two of the teams within the division of my favorite team, couldn't deny the numbers. You just couldn't do it.
Sure.
So that's why I kept hoping that the writers would get it right and get him in there. And he finally gets in there, and then he pulls this. Just like you said, man, he gave everybody who did not like him ammo to come at him and turn it into T.O. season. And but like you said, like I don't know if you ever got a chance to watch his TV show or not when you had that reality show for a little bit.
Just a little bit, not a lot.
But yeah,
I saw that
episode
when he ended up screwing his realtor, that finance realtor that he had. I saw that episode. But anyway, go ahead.
But yeah, but if you watch the show, you can tell something is aloof with him. And of course, you know, the relationship with his grandmother, and I think she eventually ended up passing with all of that happening, man. And he's not, and then him dealing with bankruptcy and everything, man. Yeah, he's going through a lot, but I just need him. I need somebody to be in his corner, man, and to put him to the side, and tell him that we need to do better. But I don't think anyone's going to be willing to help him now after he pulled this stunt, man. You know, I just feel bad for the brother. I really do.
You know what? And it's too bad because like you said, he's truly on an island now. Because all those players who went to bat for him, you saw what he said about Mark Irvin on Twitter, right? I'm not going to going to really go and get into here, but I'll just say hashtag Palo Donuts. And, you know, it's someone who went out in my group who went on his way to help him. Someone who Terrell Owens once loved and looked up to. He did him like that because Michael Irvin criticized him, like many other players have been doing, of not going to the Hall of Fame and ceremonies. I mean, he'll be the first one to skip it. And again, it's too bad because for one, part of me wants to see Terrell Owens pull Michael Jordan and just be savage, just go out there and just roast everyone who doubted him, roast all the sports writers. Roast Jim Rome, roast Skip Bayless, roast Donovan McNabb and Jason Witten and Jeff Gustin. I mean, just roast folks, like Michael Jordan did in his Pins induction speech. I still can't believe that Michael Jordan flew a guy up who beat him out on the varsity team on his dime, only just to trash him in front of everybody. That's coming to live in hilarious and hilarious infamy forever for me, but he could do stuff like that. He could do stuff like that, and I'd be even cool with it because he's getting shit off of his chest. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I would not have a problem with it whatsoever. But he's cheating the fans, and he's cheating the people who actually helped him make it. I mean, wouldn't we love to hear him talk about his grandmother and his mom and his position coach who believed in him? About Jerry Rice, who took him on his wing. Mm-hmm. Don't you want to hear those stories? Even other locals, people at UT Chattanooga who helped him along the way. Because that's all it's about, man. It's not necessarily about the player, the former player being inducted. It's about the people who helped him get there.
Yeah.
That's the coolest part about that.
And the fact that we know that he can get emotional. And that's something I would like to see from him. It's to open himself up and just, you know, talk about those that loved him and supported him throughout his entire career to help him do what he did. And then if he needed to go ahead and you know, be kamikaze to a couple of sports writers and critics, so be it. But that's what I would have loved to have seen from T.O. in that situation, man, to do that. But unfortunately, we might not get it.
Yeah, that's too bad. That's too damn bad because I would love to see not only just show his grandmother, his late grandmother, his family, his close friends and position coaches to support him along the way, some love to because what Chris Carter said a few years ago, Mama, talking about his mom, you in the Hall of Fame. Butch, his older brother who he looked up to, played in the NBA. You in the Hall of Fame. Such other folks who helped me along the way, you in the Hall of Fame. That's what it's about. That's really what it's about. And, you know, plus a little roasting of Donovan McNabb would be nice. But other than that, that's what it's about. It's too bad. You know, I hope the brother changes his mind. I don't think he will again, but I hope he changes his mind because I think he'll look back on this and he'll think to himself, damn. I should have gone. But that's the only – he can't get that moment back. He won't be able to get that moment back. Yeah, it's going to be gone.
I really do. Yeah.
Yeah, so I really hope he changes his mind. But anyway, and thanks a lot, brother. We'll probably do this again next week. So who knows what the hell we'll be talking about. So take a light.
Hey, you do the same, bro.
All right, peace out. That's my man, Dwayne Nash. Please check out my co-host on – Sleazy Radio here on Blog Talk Radio every week with his guy, the coach, and a few others, as well as his sports blog, the r/HBCU Sports. Thank you all for tuning in. This is Scott Burks of the Klein Hour, signing off 06 tonight.